folks, I love you, and I got some good news for you today. Woohoo! Because, you know, faith is the victory. It is faith in Jesus Christ that will give us the victory.
Amen.
Last week, as we were in the Word of God, we were studying, we talked about the inheritance of God, and we looked in Revelation chapter 21, and we saw this great inheritance that God has given for us. He talked about having God wiping away every tear. Amen?
Amen?
They say that there'll be no crying in heaven. Well, actually, you got to have, if you ain't crying, you ain't going to have no tears, right? But anyhow, whenever you do cry, when you do cry, if you do cry, God is right there and He's going to wipe that tear. What compassion you'll feel from the living God. Amen?
Yeah.
All of your hurt, amen, Justin, yeah, you're not going to need that chair no more. Praise God.
Yeah,
right? All those sick folks dying of cancer, guess what? You ain't got to worry about that no more. All right? Yeah. If you're short and you can't help it, well, praise God, you're still going to be short and you can't help it. Right? And that's okay. Right? Because the very presence of God is going to dwell with man. We will be called His children.
Amen.
He will be our God. And we will be with Him forevermore. Pray that's good news.
Amen.
That's what we talked about last week. That inheritance. And as I was in that, in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7, he said, "He that overcometh," and that word overcometh, the concept of overcometh, "shall inherit all things." And he says, "I will be his God," or their God, "and they," or "he," "shall be my son." And as I was even thinking of that, when he says "he" and "his," and remember, in heaven there is no sexual identity. All right? So praise God. You can use it that way because the word was written that way and it means it that way. And so we, those who trust Jesus Christ, will be overcomers.
Amen.
We're going to talk about that word overcomers and what it means today. So let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing on the sermon as we're about ready to break it open. Father, we thank You so much. I thank You for Your word. Lord God, Your word is life. And in that life we have our hope. In that life we have our future.
Yes.
We have our inheritance in You, Jesus Christ. And we thank You for that. I pray, Lord, as I'm preparing to speak the word today, that You will overrun my mouth, Lord, Father, that You will keep my mind in check. Y'all pray for me on that.
Amen.
That You'll keep my mind in check, and that the words that I say will be words from You, Lord, Father, and I thank You for that. I ask even now through the power of Jesus Christ that You would send the Holy Spirit to speak to Your people. Lord God, there are people there that need to hear the Spirit of God, what He has to say to the church in this, our day and time. And Lord, we thank You and we praise You for that. We claim it in Jesus' name. And the body says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so what is it to be an overcomer? That's the first thing I got to thinking about, you know, as I was preparing this. What do I need to do to get over, to have victory over all of these things that we need to overcome? And there's only one thing that came to my mind. This might be the shortest sermon you ever heard. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So when you need to be an overcomer, you need Jesus. You don't need somebody else's theology. You don't need a big word. You don't need to know where all the silent words are and all the hard words that you can say. You don't need none of that garbage. You don't need math. You don't need to have a high, real heart, smart intellect, stuff like that. What you need is Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
You need His indwelling Spirit. You need salvation.
Amen.
And when you get salvation, when you really are converted into the likeness of Jesus Christ, you have a promise from God that you are an overcomer.
Amen.
Now that's great because it came out of my mind, right? Well, thank you with the wonderful mind of Curtis. But what's the Bible got to say about that? Because if my mind doesn't match the word of the word of God, then it's just a bunch of jibber jabber, right? So let's get out of the jibber jabber and into the word. Amen? And so open your Bibles to John, 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Say amen when you get there. And if you don't know where that is, find the Revelation. Turn back a couple of books. Short books. Amen. So 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 8. Have you got there yet?
Yep.
And my Bible is page 1969. I don't know if it's that year in your Bible, but that's where my Bible is. Anyhow, so praise God for that. And here John, the apostle of Jesus Christ, the one that laid his head on the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper. That John. All right, you want to make sure you got the right one. He said, whosoever, who's that mean?
Everybody.
Everybody, whosoever, whosoever. It does not matter who you are, how tall you are. It doesn't matter how much money you got, how much money you ain't got. If you do this next thing, whosoever believeth.
Amen.
Amen. Do you believe it? Now, what does it mean to believe something? You got to think about that just for a second. Because you can believe a lot of wrong stuff. How about believing truth? Amen? Amen. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. Amen? Mm-hmm. Remember what Jesus talked to Peter on as he started the church? We talked about this in Sunday school, so I'm just running it off the top of my mind. It's not in my notes, but it should be. Anyhow, Jesus had sent his disciples out to preach and teach the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the good news of the kingdom is what he sent them to preach. And when they came back, Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And many of them said, oh, you're John the Baptist resurrected, or you're Jeremiah, or you're this prophet, or you're that prophet. And Jesus said, all right, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And
Amen.
Jesus said, upon that, all right, upon that confession that you are the Christ, you're the Messiah, you're the Savior, on that confession, I'm going to build the church, the ecclesia. I'm going to call people out of darkness into the light because you know that I, that Jesus is the one God manifested in the flesh.
Amen.
He was Messiah. He said, upon that rock, upon that confession, I'm going to build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? You want to make sure the gates of hell ain't going to come against you or prevail against you? Not that they won't come against you, they just won't win. All
right?
You want to be a victor, you want to be an overcomer, then you need to know who you are, and you need to be firmly standing on the rock of Jesus Christ, that cornerstone. All right? That was the confession. That's what John is saying here. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begotteth, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now, catch this. Everyone that loves God also loves the ones that are begot by God.
Amen.
All right? That means I got to love the church. I got to love you guys. And guess what? As nasty as I am, you got to love me too. Right? Right? Because we are the body of Christ. It doesn't matter the title that's over the building you go into. Do you believe that Jesus is the risen Christ?
Amen.
That he's the one that came. If you believe that, then you are the church.
Yeah.
Amen? And in that means I got to love you. You got to love me. All right? So, and to be an overcomer, that's what it's going to take, is that love. And so, everyone that loveth Christ, that begot loveth him also begotten of him. Verse 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Well, that's a little tougher, that last part. Keeping the commandments of God. Now, Jesus said that there's two commandments that are way above all the other commandments.
Amen.
What are they?
Love God,
love each other. Amen. You do those two, you build the prophets and the commandments. Now, what does it take for me to love you? I need Jesus, right? I need Jesus. Because there's some of y'all that don't like me. And I like that. I love that the Bible doesn't say that you got to like each other. It says you're commanded to love one another. Right? So I don't have to like you. There might be some things in your character that I just don't agree with. Well, praise God. Big deal. Get over it. Love them anyhow.
Amen.
Right? That's what he's talking about. You've got to love one another over top of all those things. And verse 3 says this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. Praise God. It's not hard to do it.
Amen.
This is not a burden to love you. This isn't a burden to love God. It isn't a burden not to murder somebody, right? It's not a burden to do that kind of stuff. It is freeing. It's overflowing. Verse 4, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Amen? Whosoever is born of God is an overcomer. Whosoever loves his neighbor like Christ loves them is an overcomer. Whosoever goes beyond what they conceive as right and wrong and leans back into the word of God, they're an overcomer. And if you are overcomer, you have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so he that overcometh the world, even our faith. For verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. So it's not that we're just overcoming some things. We're overcoming the world. And it's not this globe that we live in. There's a world system behind the globe that we live in. There's a prince of the power of the air that we need to overcome. And even greater than that, because really I believe that we give way too much credit to the devil.
That's right.
Amen. You know who I need to overcome more than anything else? You're looking at me.
Me.
I need to overcome my flesh. I need to overcome my desires. I got to get out of my own way to follow Jesus.
Amen.
Who's stopping me from being an overcomer? It's because I want what I want more than what I want what God wants.
Right.
Right? And if I get past that, if I can just get past me and get to Jesus, right, I'm an overcomer.
Amen.
And I have an inheritance in Christ. But all you got to do is get past your own thought, your own mind, your own flesh. You need to walk in the Spirit, amen, and not in the flesh.
That's right.
Because if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we'll get into that, Lord willing, here in a little bit. So we can know that the only chance that we have to be an overcomer is salvation. Putting all of our faith fully in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
We got to put how much? Starts with A and ends in two L's. All right? You either have the A and two L's or you got a he and two L's. You're either giving it all to Jesus or you're going to hell.
That's right.
All right? There's the bottom line. Right? Either you're gonna trust him and follow him and obey him and love him and be an overcomer, or else you're gonna do your thing and you're gonna be cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Right.
Another big word is called surrender.
Yeah.
Right? When was the last time you surrendered to Jesus Christ? Your will for his will. Your will for his will. His ways, not your ways. Actually, the way I put it is, I'm not looking for my way. I'm looking for Yahweh.
Amen.
Right? I'm looking for the Creator, His will in my life or in this life. Now, after you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, guess what? A fight starts.
Right.
You know, before I knew the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I did not have a problem getting drunk. Sure didn't. I didn't have a problem chasing girls. I didn't have a problem cussing. I didn't have a problem filling the lust of my flesh. Not one bit. Nobody came against me. Right? But once I started trusting Jesus Christ, guess what? That became a battle.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
And I had to seek victory. I had to seek what God's word said about any and every circumstance. And I had to trust God's word above my own personal
Amen.
Feelings. Guess what? If you want the inheritance in heaven, you've got to be that type of overcomer too.
Right.
You've got to look past what you want into what God says is right for you.
Amen.
Right? Because all of us were children at one time. Wasn't ice cream, butter pecan ice cream, wasn't that better than broccoli? Right? And all I wanted was butter pecan ice cream. I really didn't care for broccoli that much. Right? But my mom made sure I ate broccoli. Why? Not because I liked it, because she knew it was better for me than butter pecan ice cream. Right? Our way, our flesh, is like butter pecan ice cream.
Yeah.
Feels good for a moment.
Yeah.
But the end of it will bring death.
That's right.
Right? You follow your flesh, guess where you're going? To hell.
Amen.
All right? You follow Jesus Christ, guess where you're going? To heaven.
Amen.
Right? You trust him as your Lord and Savior. You walk with him. You follow him. You do what he's commanded you to. Then you have an inheritance in Christ Jesus.
Bless God.
Do you know before you knew Jesus Christ, you were an enemy of God?
Mm-hmm.
It tells us that in Romans chapter 5 and 10 and Colossians chapter 1 and 21. And I'll read that one. And you were once alienated. All right? There were one time you were alienated and enemies in our mind, but alienated from God. And we were the enemies of God at one time. My two favorite words comes after that. But God. Amen. But God, because that's who I used to be, absolutely for sure. But God came in. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for this wretched soul. Right? He exposed his righteousness to my unrighteousness. He called me in my darkness and gave me light. He sucked the death out of me and breathed life into me through the power of the Holy Ghost. And if you're saved, that's what happened to you. Now, the circumstances might be different, but the fact of the remains that you were lost and dying and going to hell until you heard your name called by the heavenly host, till you heard your name called by the Father, till he exposed his love to you and he drew you with those cords of kindness and compassion and brought you out of the death that you were in into the light that you belong to. And he let you know that there's an inheritance for you. There's something better than what this world has to offer for you. And so in this world system, the system that you love, John, not 1 John, John 15. We know that. I'm the vine, you are the branches. It says in chapter 15 and verse 19, the latter part of it, it says, the world loves its own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. All right, so this is telling you the conflict. See, before I knew Christ, the world loved me. I had no problems following my flesh, doing those things. No problem at all. But then I was called out of the world by the power of God through his love, through his grace. Amen. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you should be having the same battle that every Christian has between their flesh and the righteousness of God. And in that battle, who you choose to follow will determine whether you have an inheritance and you are an overcomer, or you don't have an inheritance and you do not overcome.
Amen.
Again, that's good words, but what does the Bible say? Amen? So let's get into some of that. What the words, well, actually, we said right here that the world loves its own, right? Before you knew the world, the flesh loved you, all right? But now you're not of the world, but God, Christ, has chosen you out of the world. Therefore, that world system, it hates you now. And so, one who was blood bought, amen? Now, you got to understand what that means, blood bought. Yes. There was a price for your salvation. Now, salvation for you was free. It doesn't cost you anything at the beginning. It really doesn't. All you have to do is accept it because somebody else picked up the tab. Amen. Guess who his name is? Jesus. Say it like you know him.
Jesus.
Amen. And he died. He shed his blood for your unrighteousness. The righteous, holy Lamb of God, God himself, manifested in flesh, chose to die for your rotting, stinking souls. Right? Now, you don't like to think of yourself like that, but before you knew Christ, you were alienated. You were an enemy of God.
Yes.
But then he called you. You heard it, and you answered the call affirmingly. You say, yes, God, I need your salvation. And God says, I got it for you. I got you covered. I will be your covering. I'll be your propitiation. I'll meet you where you're at, and I will love you in the mess that you're in, and I will sanctify you, continually sanctify you, and call you out of that darkness that you're in into the glorious light that I have for you.
Praise
him. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise him. Bless him for that. You are blood bought. You are bought by the blood of the Lamb. So in that you're bought, you're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price, the precious price of Jesus Christ. He died for you. Not only did he die, he rose again 3 days later to fulfill the scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
He did it just because the Bible said he was going to, and he did. Amen. It tells us, the Word of God tells us, that we do not go back to the world system after you've been redeemed out of the world system, right? We need to make sure that once we have trusted Christ, that we don't go back into the temptations of the world,
Amen.
Be called back into the snares of Satan, because Jesus set you free, and he who he has set free is free indeed. You don't have to fight. You don't have to worry about that anymore because Jesus broke the bondage of sin in your life. Not just sin in your life, sin as a whole.
Amen.
He paid it all for us, for you. He says in James chapter 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, right? You got to endure it. What does enduring mean to you? Oh, it's fresh, it's easy, I don't have to do anything. I can just sit on my couch and just eat bonbons all day. Is that enduring? No. What does endure mean?
Pressing forward.
To me, it means battling. It means fighting.
Yep.
Right? I got to fight for something. The man that endureth, who fights against temptation, For when he is tried or tested, or that's what tried means, when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life.
Yeah.
When you're tried, what do you get? Mm-hmm. Salvation, a crown of life, right? You get, when the trials of this life come against you, and you overcome your flesh for the righteousness of God, you got an inheritance. You got something that God has set apart strictly for you because of what Jesus did on the cross for you.
Bless.
He has something for you, but you got to overcome me. You got to overcome you.
Yes.
You got to overcome your flesh.
Yes.
You've got to endure. You've got to fight your flesh. Because guess how often your flesh comes against you?
All the time.
Every day, every moment of the day. And I must remember that as a truth, as a battle, that you are fighting, all right? But you're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're warring against powers and principalities in the heavenly places, right? Now, and that might conjure up angelic fighting, no doubt. But remember, Satan is the prince of the power of the air.
That's right.
Right? Don't go so high with that. Come back down to earthly size, all right? It doesn't take a lot to trip you up.
Nope.
And Satan, he knows all the tricks. He knows your nature. He knows, not your nature maybe particularly, but he knows the nature of humankind.
Yes.
He knows how frail we are and how we like the shiny thing. Right? Hey, Eve, did God truly say, come on, I'm going to shine up this fruit. Go ahead, buy it. It's not going to kill you. Shiny. Look, I'm the shiny one. Eat the fruit. It's not yet. You're not going to die from this. Little did she know, when she bit into it, not only did she die, but she was going to die.
Amen.
In dying, you shall die. So that happened. But when we endure those temptations, when we fight through those temptations, when we're tested, we shall receive salvation, that crown of life, amen, which the Lord hath promised to them that
love
him. Right? He promised it to those who... Do you love God?
Yeah.
Amen? Amen?
Praise him.
No, you got to... When I say, do you love God? Now, examine your life.
Right.
Is there evidences in my life that I love God? And that's a question every human being needs to ask themselves.
Amen.
It's not that Jesus loves you. Yes, he loves you. He loved you so much that he accepted the thorns. He accepted the beating. He accepted his beard pouring out. He accepted the nails in his hand. He accepted the cross. Because he was without. He accepted death. Why? Because he loves you. So there's no doubt that he loves you. This crown of life is reserved for those who love him.
Amen.
More than they love themselves.
Amen.
More than you love the temptations of this world. So when I ask you, do you love God more than these? You got to ask yourself, what are these to you?
Amen.
Right? Amen. And then say, is God really that to me? Is he better than the Buffalo Bills? Right?
Yeah.
Is he better than those Indianapolis 500 guys? Do I love God more than... Do I love God more than fishing? Do I love God more than work? Now, none of those are bad in and of themselves. I mean, if you want to sit and watch people drive around in silly circles for 4 hours, that's up to you. If you want to see grown men push each other back and forth over an oblong ball, that's your deal, you know? Personally, I don't see much in it. You know, I really don't. A lot of folks do like it, and praise God for you. And I know that it builds something, you know, sweat equity. Anyhow, but I love God more than that.
Amen.
All right? Many years ago, and I still am, I was a John Wayne fan, right? And I love the dude. Yeah, I do. And every Sunday after church, they'd have the weekend westerns, right? And I would sit in front of the stupid box right there for hours, and I'd watch the same John Wayne movie over and over and over again. I could almost tell you every single line that they'd say in Real Lobo, right? I could tell you those things. I could tell you about the cowboys and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And one day the Lord impressed on my heart, he laid on my heart, he said, Curtis, do you love me more than these? Mm-hmm. I said, well, sure I do. And he brought to my mind, how much time do you spend in the scripture then? You got all week and you watch more John Wayne in one day than you spend with me all week long. Are you sure you love me more than you love John Wayne? You know what I had to do? I had to cut the cable.
Amen.
I had to cut the cable. I couldn't do that anymore. Because, yes, I love God, and God had to show me that John Wayne was more important to me than him. So something had to die. It was either me or John Wayne.
That's
amen.
Right.
So I had to kill John Wayne. And I haven't watched a John Wayne movie since then. And that's up between you and God. That's none of my business. There's another thing in your life, right? I don't know what it is. It might be your grandkids. It might be your kids. It might be your mom, your dad. It might be yourself. You know, and none of those things are bad, but if you love them more than you love God, then you cannot be his disciple, his
amen.
Student, right?
Right.
And so it tells us here that there is a blessing for the person that is tested and is held on to the truth, enduring, living through the trials and holding on as a victor. And it's not just that crown of life that Jesus told that he would have for the churches. He also tells us in the Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, talking to the churches, he that overcometh, because that's what we're talking about today, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment.
Amen.
When he says white raiment, you will be found faultless.
Amen.
Pure. Faultless before the throne. Isn't it good to know that you as a sinner can be found faultless anywhere? I know when I think of that, that when I understand the holiness of God, and he's going to look at me and say, pure.
Praise the Lord.
How do you do that for a rat like me? Or how do you do that for a rat like you? You know, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he that overcometh the temptations of his own flesh, he that overcometh the world system, he that looks for the promises of God, he that looks for the inheritance, not the now day, not the today time, right? He that's looking for the future has an inheritance, has a promise in God. And you'll be given, you'll be clothed in white, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. All right, so when I heard that and I looked at it, I said, wow, so if God's saying I won't blot your name out of the book of life, then there must be some that he would blot their name out of the book of life. What if you love your flesh more than you love the Lord? Do you think you have any security in heaven? All right? But he says, if you do that, you will confess. I will confess your name before the Lord. And as I was thinking of that, because I've been taught, you know, once saved, always saved. Right? And I believe that. Once you're really converted, you're converted.
Amen?
Amen. That's it.
Amen.
But I've known people that have walked away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? They said all the words. They confessed. Who here's been a Christian more than just a year? Right? Amen? A lot of hands went up. Now, how many can actually say that they've seen somebody, knew somebody that confessed the Lord, believed in their heart, but turned away?
Oh.
I have. I can say I know people that have done that. Okay, so I can give you my idea, or I can give you the Word of God. What do you want? Word of God. Amen. Praise God.
Probably the same.
No, please. So anyhow, Galatians talks about this really great. Now, I'm not going to get into all of the particular things that he says in Galatians about the flesh and the works of the flesh. But in verse 16, he starts this way. This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But, that's a big word, it's just three letters, but, if ye be led with the Spirit, you're not under the law. And he says the works of the flesh are manifest. And he goes through this list of things, right? And so, as he goes gets through chapter verse 21, he says, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and such a like. If the which I told you before, as I have told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's look back just real quick and ask yourself, are you in adultery? All right, now, oh, you're a widow, of course you're not. 104 years old. Yeah. No doubt, right? Are you in a sexual relationship outside of your marriage? And it means pornography. It means your soap opera. It means your book, passion books. Is your mind in that thing? Because remember, it's not just those who touch the opposite sex. Yep. It's those who think about the opposite Amen. Sex in a sexual way. Jesus calls that adultery, right? So are you in adultery? And I'm not pointing the finger. Are you in fornication or uncleanliness, ungodliness of any sort, right? Now remember, if you do such things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, right? Okay, and we're looking for that crown of life. You're looking to be an overcomer.
Amen.
Lasciviousness, which is lewdness. Are you involved in that? And what you're watching on TV, is it lewd? Is it something ungodly? Might be fun, but is it something that God doesn't want to enter into your ear or your eye gate? Right? Idolatry. All right? And you say, well, yeah, I don't have an idol that I pray to. But do you have a 64-inch idol in your living room that you pray to? Right? That's an idol. Witchcraft. This means sorcery, drug use. Are you into dope? Right? I'm not talking about keeping your blood pressure down with the right medication. I'm talking about hiding behind the corner store smoking a doobie. Are you doing that? Are you doing drugs just to make you feel better? Right? Hatred. Do you have hatred or contentions or jealousies, wrath, strife, seditions? Are you a gossiper? Hearsays. If you're a gossiper, do you know that you're damaged? You stand a good chance that you don't have an inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. This list scares me. Right? It does, because I know who I am. But I also got to hold on but God. Amen. Right? We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if I confess my sin, He's faithful and He's just to forgive me those sins.
Amen.
When was the last time you took this list and really, really looked over it in your personal life and said, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty. And then you bring it to the foot of the cross. You bring it to Jesus and said, Father, I know I've sinned against you. Forgive me, a sinner.
Amen.
Right? And what does He say? I will cleanse you of how many sins? All. How far is He going to separate them? East is from the west. Amen. He's going to drown them in the deepest parts of the ocean. Mm-hmm. Right? But unfortunately, many Christians don't believe this.
Right.
They think that, well, I said the prayer when I was 6 years old. I slid into home. So now I can rape, pillage, murder all I want. You know? As I said the prayer, man, I'm good.
No.
I think that whole teaching, that doctrine of pray after me and you'll be saved, is a very dangerous thing.
Amen.
That has been taught for 100 years in America. Pray after me. I don't have salvation in my words.
Right?
Right? What it does say is surrender to Jesus Christ and you'll be saved.
Amen.
Right? Submit to Him and you'll be saved. Fight the good fight as a soldier, and you'll be saved. Struggle against your flesh desires, and you have an inheritance. You'll be an overcomer. See, it's not there's, man, thank you, Lord, for this. In a battle, there's no shame in being wounded.
That's right.
Right? There's no shame, because you were fighting the fight, you got wounded. You know what is a shame? To be a coward.
Amen.
To be a coward over the gospel, and you run away from the truth. Folks, there's a lot of cowards in the church.
Right. Amen.
See, right now my flesh wants to talk about the virus. But I'm not going to. Because you already, do you know how I feel about it? Mm-hmm. Amen? No. Please. Okay, I will. Just real quick. Just real quick. I don't believe one place that preached the gospel should have closed their doors. Right. Ever.
Amen. I
don't believe if you really trusted Jesus Christ, you should have not stopped.
Amen.
All right? Regardless of the virus, and I'm not saying it ain't real, people are really dying from heart attacks, from cigarette smoking, from alcoholism, from abortions. All right, from the flu, from regular disease, from brain aneurysms. People are really dying. The virus is a small thing. I mean, really, it's a small thing. I mean, if you look at the size of it, it's a small thing. Anyhow, I'm going to jump off that bucket. All right, I told you I let you know how I feel. If you are a Bible-preaching church trusting Jesus Christ, you should have not closed your doors.
Amen.
When you did close your doors, you hurt the body of Christ.
Amen.
Because when did the body need the pastors and the fellowship most? It's when we were sick, when we were hurting, when we needed help.
Amen.
And the churches were closed. Shame. Shame.
Amen.
You got to be an overcomer
right.
of what the world system said. The world system said if you stayed open, then you're going to die. The Bible says if you're going to die, you're going to be with me.
That's right.
So anybody who closed the church to save your life was actually willing to send your soul to hell.
Amen.
And I know a lot of pastors hate me because I think that way, but that's okay. I've been hated by better people.
Amen.
And so, anyhow, Jesus says if you overcome, he will not blot your name out. All right? If you don't overcome, it stands a very good chance when I read that in the Revelation that he can block your name out. In fact, he tells us that if you change you take away or add to the prophecies of this book, I will blot your name out. All right? So just take that. You need to be an overcomer. I want to hold on to the truth of his word.
Amen.
I don't want to take a chance of having my name blotted out.
Right.
So you know what I do? I don't commit adultery. You know what? I don't murder somebody. You know what I do? I try not to gossip. You know? If I do have some curiosity about you, you know who I'm going to talk to about it? You guys. Not the church, but you personally. Like if I had something I thought about Mark, I'd say, hey, Mark, tell me the truth about this. And I hope that Mark would do the same thing with me, that he wouldn't go behind my back and say, well, Pastor Curtis, he said that the world's flat. There's a dome over top of it. But you have said.
Preach it.
Amen. Anyhow, we need to count that cost, right? We need to confess before the world the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will confess us.
Amen.
Only those who endure, that means to overcome, to fight against, those who do not quit will inherit. Those who not only know about Jesus, but know Jesus as true.
Amen.
That follow him, fully assured that he is the only way, the only truth, the only life, and no man gets to the Father but through him.
Amen.
Amen. Or by him, right? You can only go to heaven by holding on to the hem of Jesus' garment. You can only go to heaven by trusting Jesus Christ more than you trust what the world has to say.
Amen.
You only have inheritance when you believe him above all other things.
Amen.
And when you do, you are an overcomer.
Yes.
Right? So what makes you an overcomer? His name is Jesus. His position is Messiah.
Bless
right?
Praise
Jesus the Christ. Right? He is the Savior of the world. Remember, and in that, Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, our old man is crucified.
Right.
All right? Hey, is your old man crucified? I want to ask you personally, because Jesus paid it all to him I owe. I am crucified with Christ. Now, what does that mean? That means this old man, my old habits, my old way of life, had to die.
Amen.
And the wonderful thing about crucifixion, if there is a wonderful thing about crucifixion, people didn't die immediately. Do you know that? You got hung on the cross, and if you're a strong person, you might live for a week. Hanging there until the crows came and plucked out your eyes. Tomorrow you say, well, what's good about that? Because when I got saved, I didn't get cleaned.
That's right.
I hung there for a while.
That's right.
Before I died. Yeah. My flesh struggled to breathe, right?
Romans.
But there came a day that I died.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
There came a day that I really trusted God over my own life, and I died, and I was crucified
Amen.
With Christ.
Praise
Amen? Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. And so as we were saying just a minute, this is so good. How can you start in verse 6? What shall we say then in verse 1? If we continue in sin, that grace may abound, well, God forbid. All right? If we continue in our old way of life, that grace can abound in us, stop the stinking thinking. God forbid. All right? I should no longer do the old things. Why? Because God saved me. I've been set apart from that.
Amen.
So why go back? Verse 2, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Mm-hmm. Know you not, as many that were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore you are buried with him by baptism unto death. Oh, it didn't say sprinkled. Right? You weren't sprinkled. You were buried. All right? You didn't get a little splash of water. The old man was drowned in water. And when I baptize you, I'll hold you down there just for a little extra. All right? Yeah, some folks just got baptized a couple of weeks ago here. And so you were baptized unto his death. That like Christ, as Christ is raised up from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Walk in the newness of life. You'll be an overcomer. All right? There's decisions to be made. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Amen.
You, as a Christian, should not serve sin.
Amen.
Now, if you do, if you refuse to die to the old man, then did you really crucify him? No. And in fact, far as I know, short of Conan the Barbarian, there's no man ever come off the cross alive. Even Jesus was dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say Conan the Barbarian, you know the story. Maybe not. Maybe not. I ain't going to choose that rabbit. Anyhow. But if you have crucified the old man, how many dead folks you got to be worried about?
Me.
One. Right. But if your enemy dies and is buried in the ground, guess what you don't have anymore? That enemy is dead and rotting in the ground. They don't come back. There ain't no booger men. All right? There ain't no haint. You know, now there's demons and stuff like that. But once you're dead, guess what? You have made up your mind. You're either an overcomer or not.
Right.
Either you died in your sin and you're going to hell, or you died in the grace of Jesus Christ and he has a place for you, an inheritance. One or the other. So we need to make sure that this old man, this one, is crucified with Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11 through 13, he put it this way. Now this is for those who are crucified. Many shall be offended and betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise up and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow or wax cold. Amen. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. How long you got to endure?
Yeah.
To the end. What if you only run halfway and quit? You didn't make it to the end. If you were running a race, a round race, or like we talk about those drag car racers or the people who drive around in circles really fast, I call those puppies.
NASCAR.
NASCAR people.
Ooh.
Got one tooth, cream corn. Anyhow.
NASCAR. And
there's nothing wrong with driving around really fast in a circle.
And they pray.
Pray
before they are Christian.
Amen. Mother. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
And my dog chases his tail. Anyhow, where did I go from that? Anyhow, we need to endure not just halfway through. In NASCAR, if you quit halfway around the track, do you win?
No.
If you're in a track and field thing and you run halfway of your race and you quit, three quarters of the way, all right, 5/8 of the way. No, you got to finish the race.
Yeah.
And even if you finish the race last place, you still won because you did your personal best.
Amen.
All right? And here, the body of Christ, we need to endure.
Mm-hmm.
We need to endure these things coming against us.
Yes.
And continually press forward to the high calling of Christ. This enduring is the same as overcoming, making it to the end. It is from for those who are prepared for the hardships. See, you can't, if you only prepare for half of the race, you'll never make it to the end. You got to prepare for the hardships from the beginning all the way to the end. If I was going to train somebody to run a 5K race, I would have them run with extra weight for 10Ks on their back, in their backpack. I would do that to train them, to train their muscles, to know that they can go further than what they think that they can. Right? It's like that longest yard or furthest yard. There's a Christian movie. Longest yard, isn't it? Yeah, right. And one scene in that movie, they have the big guy who stands in front. And they hike the ball and they smash each other's helmets. What's that? Snot guard? Nose guard. Anyhow, nose guard, right? And they have him. They tie a young man to his back and they blindfold him, right? And they just how far can you walk? Monster crawl or whatever, turtle crawl with this guy on your back. He says, I think I can do it for 10 yards. Well, they blindfold him, and he gets it all the way through the 100 yards. He makes it all the way through, crawling with another man on his back. He didn't think he could endure the hardship, but when he woke up, he realized not only did he endure, but he made it all the way to the end. Sometimes we got to put on some blinders to this world.
Amen.
Right? Stop watching news. All right? Stop Facebook trolling. Stop looking at the death and start looking for the life.
Amen.
Because if you only look at what you cannot do, you will never achieve what God has for you.
That's right.
You'll never endure if you only look where you can't go. You've got to look where God has called you to go beyond what your abilities are.
Amen.
Or what you conceive your abilities are. Because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Right? We need to keep that in our forefront to push further. This enduring is the same as overcoming. It's preparing for the hardships. It's to have a mindset of never quitting. What's that? Winners never quit and quitters never win.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We have to overcome the adversity of today. We need to overcome the adversity of our own mindset. We need to overcome the things that are slowing us down.
Amen.
We need to draw near to God with a true heart, right?
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 and 23. Okay. It's 20 minutes after 12. I'm on page 3 of 4. We'll continue this next week. Okay? But I want you to know that you can. You can overcome.
That's right.
You have an inheritance prepared for you.
Yes.
From the foundations of the world. He already knows your name.
Amen.
He knows who you are and he loves you where you're at.
Bless.
His call for you is not to be consumed with the world system.
Amen.
To be consumed with your own lust, your own desires. He wants us to shake off the old man.
Amen.
That we can inherit what's already set apart for us.
Yeah.
It's already there.
Amen.
The only thing that needs to get you to where the goal is don't quit Jesus.
That's
right? Don't quit the cross. Don't quit dying to your own self.
That's
if you really want to live in the inheritance to be an overcomer that's it's held for you. Remember Revelation 22, 21, and verse 7? He that overcomes shall inherit. You got to be willing to go past what you think you can.
Amen.
See, if you're addicted to something, you don't think that you can get over it. If you go addicted to alcohol, I was there, right? And I listen to what he said. I was there. I'm not anymore.
Amen.
All right? Instead of a 12-step program, I took a 1-step program. I stepped into Jesus Christ. And when I stepped into Jesus Christ, he set me free.
Yes.
I am an overcomer of that.
Yes.
Now, I still have other things to overcome.
Of course.
How am I going to overcome those things? Jesus. I got to step into Jesus. Whatever it is, whatever is stopping you, whatever weight is surrounding you, drowning you, step away from that and into Jesus.
Amen.
Have faith.
Amen.
Have faith, and you will believe. You will be an overcomer.
Amen.
You got to believe it past what you can see. You got to know it beyond what the world tells you.
Amen.
And nobody can do that for you but you.
Amen.
Jesus paid it all on Calvary. The sin debt is taken care of. Do you believe it? All right? Do you believe it? Then you can receive it. Right? You can receive the fullness of life, the fullness of the inheritance. It is there for you. All you got to do is step out by faith. And it starts with one thing. It starts with salvation. It starts with knowing you cannot be good enough to inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Your righteousness is like filthy rags before him. You first got to admit that you can't do it on your own. And when you come to that, then you surrender to the one who can do it.
That's
on his
right.
own.
Amen.
Nobody carried the cross but Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, I know that there's one other guy that carried the cross. But nobody paid for the sin debt but Jesus. He carried the weight of the sin of the world alone. No man carried that for him.
Bless God.
And he wants to carry that for you.
Yeah.
Your endurance is because he endured. Your overcoming is because he overcame. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. If you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you've never surrendered to him, it's easy. Stop fighting against him.
Amen.
Right? Right? He told Paul on the road to Damascus, isn't it hard to kick against the goads? The Holy Spirit, God was trying to drive him, give him direction, and he was resisting the direction of God until God knocked him off his high horse. Right? Blinded him, sent him into a city. Is that what you need? God right now is gently trying to goad you. Gently
yes,
trying to give
amen.
You direction with his loving kindness. But if he needs to, he'll knock you off your high horse.
That's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather go by the unctioning than by the club. Amen? He loves you. And he wants you to know the freedoms that you can have in him. All you got to do is trust him enough to do it.
Right. Bless
him. Amen? Mm-hmm. Next week, because Hebrews chapter 10 is so weighty, I cannot with love, loving you guys, bring you into that at this hour. Okay? So next week, we'll pick up where I left off, and we'll finish this overcoming. Amen?
Hey.
And go to the Lord. Let me ask, every eye closed, every head bowed. If you saw today that there's something that needs to die in you, let me pray for you. Just lift your hand. I don't need to know what it is. Amen. I see your hands. I see you. I know it. I know. I know. Father, I pray for these folks who are coming to you even now, and they're confessing to you, Jesus. I thank you for hearing their voice. I thank you for hearing their call. I pray, Father, that you would set them free from whatever that is. Lord God, and that you will be the victory
Amen.
For them, Lord, and I thank you for that.
Yes.
Is there anybody here today that has not first surrendered to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Have you not trusted God fully in your life? If you would raise your hand, I'd like to pray for you. All right, Father, I take it from the no showing of hands, Lord, that there's everybody here knows you as prepared to die today, to be in your presence. I thank you for that. I pray, Father, that you would move over this congregation, that you have spoken to your people in a real personal way. I ask even now, Father, that you would help them to know the truth that is in you, the power to overcome, and the great inheritance that you have for us. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.